This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 295, for the weekend of June 9th through June 11th. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office, this little podcast where we talk about TV, movies, or actually movies and TV, and other stuff that we like to occupy ourselves with, board game, role-playing games, and whatever else we feel like talking about. So, Art, how's it going over there?
It's going good. I'm coming into my long weekend, so I'll be off Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so we'll see what else I can get done this weekend.
Yeah, I will be headed to Boston for a week on Saturday. So there will be no show next week unless a miracle happens. So speaking of miracles, let's talk about the box office last weekend. So can we say a star was born this weekend?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So sorry about that little spoiler there. Okay, so for last weekend, which would be June 2nd through June 4th, here is the top five. At number one, we have new release Wonder Woman in more ways than one at $103.3 million. So $103.3 million. At number two, we have the other new release, Captain Underpants, the first epic movie, at $23.9 million. At number three, in its second week release, we have Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, at $22.1 million. At number four, in the fifth week of release, probably buoyed by Tad going to go see it, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 at $9.8 million. So that's in its fifth week release, and it's made $355 million. And at number five, we have Baywatch at $8.7 million. So there's your top five. And sadly, Alien : Covenant came at number six. Okay, that is my albatross. So anything you need to say about the top five, Art?
Yeah, nothing. I mean, that is a great performance for Wonder Woman. Over $100 million opening weekend. I hear $300 million worldwide are the latest numbers. I mean, just everything you want it to be and more. The getting great reviews, great word of mouth. I'm very excited.
Okay, and Art is likes to talk about budget. So budget for Wonder Woman was $149 million. But I don't think they need to worry about that.
No, I think they got that covered.
All right, so we're going to stop talking about last week's box office, and let's talk about what's coming out in the theater this weekend. So, Art, why don't you tell us about the first of two movies coming out in the theater this weekend?
All right, number one, we have The Mummy. It is currently 21% rotten. 114 reviews counted, 24 fresh, 90 rotten. 96% want to see it out of 33,000 users. Tom Cruise headlines a spectacular all-new cinematic version of the legend that has fascinated cultures all over the world since the dawn of civilization, The Mummy. Thought safely entombed in a tomb deep beneath the unforgiving desert.
Entombed in a tomb.
Yeah.
Boy, did my boy. Okay.
An ancient princess, Sophia Boutella of Kingsman, the Secret Service, and Star Trek Beyond, whose destiny was unjustly taken from her, is awakened in our current day, bringing with her malevolence grown over millennia and terrors that defy human comprehension. From the sweeping sands of the Middle East through hidden labyrinths under modern-day London, The Mummy brings a surprising intensity and balance of wonder and thrills in an imaginative new take that ushers in a new world of gods and monsters.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, somebody ate their thesaurus. Cruise is joined by a cast including Annabelle Wallace, upcoming King Arthur television Peaky Blinders, Jake Johnson, Jurassic World, Courtney B. Vance, TV's American Crime Story, and People vs. O.J. Simpson, Oscar winner Russell Crowe, Gladiator. The creative team on action-adventure event is led by director-producer Alex Kurtzman and producer Chris Morgan, who have been instrumental in growing some of the most successful franchises of the past several years, with Kurtzman writing on producing entries in the Transformers, Star Trek, and Mission Impossible series, and Morgan being the narrative engineer of the Fast and the Furious saga as it has experienced explosive growth from its third chapter on. Sean Daniel, who produced the most recent Mummy trilogy, produces alongside Kurtzman and Morgan. Wow. Regular who's who and pedigree.
Mm-hmm.
All right, rated PG-13 for violence, action, and scary images, and for some suggestive content and partial nudity. Genre is action, adventure, drama, horror. Directed by Alex Kurtzman. Written by David Kopp, Christopher McQuarrie, Dylan Cussman. Runtime 120 minutes. So, we've already talked about Tom Cruise, Russell Crowe, Annabelle Wallace. Who else is on here? I don't know. I do not recognize. Oh, Courtney B. Vance. Not a lot of listings on the cast.
Yeah. Yeah. Did I tell the story about why the mummy's a woman?
No, you did not.
Okay. So apparently they were coming up with like screen tests of what the mummy would look like.
Right.
And that was right around when X-Men Apocalypse came out. And their visual direction that they were going to go with the mummy looked exactly like Oscar Isaac in Apocalypse. So they scrapped everything and they turned it into a woman.
Okay.
Whether that's good or bad, I don't know. But I like the actress.
Yeah.
So it should be interesting. Considering this is my number two pick, number three pick, I could not be less enthused about this movie.
Yeah.
One thing that kind of horrifies me is, you know, the description goes on and on about Mr. Kurtzman. And so I was looking at his resume here.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a screenwriter on The Island in 2005, 40% on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. Screenwriter Legend of Zorro, 26%. Screenwriter Mission Impossible 3, 70%. He was the screenwriter on Transformers, the first one, 57%. He was a screenwriter on Star Trek, 95%. He was also the sole writer on Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen, 19%, even though that made $400 million. Some other things, Cowboys and Aliens writer, People Like Us, screenwriter and director, 54%. He was a screenwriter on Star Trek in the Darkness. I should have known. he was a screenwriter on Amazing Spider-Man 2. The most recent one, not the not Doc Ock, but the Electro one.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Okay, wait. So let's stop right there. Why don't you opt out?
Hmm.
Why don't you opt out?
No, I can't. Can't do that.
Can't do that.
Can't do that. Can't do that because as soon as I pull the plug on this bad boy, $200 million movie. I know how these things work, Art. Don't try to goad me into doing something even more stupid than taking it in the first place.
All right.
There's more than one hole in the sinking ship.
All right.
So it's not, you know, I know when to go down with the ship.
Okay. All right.
I'll just be happy for the other participants.
Okay.
With a bottle of whiskey in the corner. Okay. So yeah, we kind of like to read some of the blurbs from the reviewers here. And I'm looking at the wrong movie. Okay, here we go. Kurtzman has a style that could be generously described as accommodating. That's how you want. In lieu of any strong vision of his own, he seems content to assemble the mummy out of a hodgepodge of commercial ideas. That was Scott Tobias, NPR. Peter Howell from the Toronto Star. Did our hero even bother to read the script for this toxic CGI dump site? 1 out of 4 stars. Let's see if someone reputable liked it. Rebecca Hawks from Daily Telegraph UK. Universal's monster franchise has made it out of the tomb, just about. But if this rebirth is going to sustain itself long term, it's going to need a little more meat under its bandages. 3 out of 5 stars. The last one, Jamie East, also from the UK, The Sun. Cruise's witty banner is crowded out by special effects overkill. 2 out of 5 stars. So, yeah, this might be a rental. All right, so now it's my turn to talk about the other movie coming out this weekend, and this is called It Comes at Night. 87% on the tomato meter. Certified fresh. Out of 83 reviews, 72 fresh, 11 rotten, and out of 7,701 Rotten Tomatoes users, 95% want to see it, which is about average, I think. So here's the description. Imagine the end of the world. Done. Okay, now imagine something worse. Award-winning filmmaker Trey Edward Schultz follows his incredible debut feature Krisha with It Comes at Night, a horror film following a man, Joel Edgerton, as he learns that the evil stalking his family home may be only a prelude to horrors that come from within. Secure within a desolate home as an unnatural threat terrorizes the world, the tenuous domestic order he has established with his wife and son is put to the ultimate test with the arrival of a desperate young family seeking refuge. Despite the best intention of both families, paranoia and mistrust boil over as the horrors outside creep ever closer, awakening something hidden and monstrous within him as he learns that the protection of his family comes at the cost of his soul. Rated R for violence, disturbing images, and language. Genre is drama and horror. Written and directed by Trey Edward Schultz. Runtime is 91 minutes. Nobody I know is in this other than Joel Edgerton, and I don't even know what he's been in. So I'm not a horror fan.
We'll see if this outperforms The Mummy.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that's gonna happen, but okay, some blurbs from the reviewers, just because I gotta try saying this name. James Berardinelli from Real Views, that's R-E-E-L. I'm hard pressed to think of a recent movie that's as uncomfortable and disturbing as It Comes at Night. 3 out of 5 stars. So that was a fresh one, obviously. Greg Wakeman from the clickbaiter cinemablend.com. It Comes at Night will be too dark and grim for a lot of viewers, but those of you that are into such dark arts will revel in just how pulverizing and unnerving a ride it is. 4 out of 5 stars. And one rotten from Mick LaSalle from the San Francisco Chronicle. In the absence of such answers, or the intimation of such answers, or even the characters in pursuit of answers, It Comes at Night begins to seem thin, a torment without purpose. 1 out of 4 stars. So I will tell you, he didn't like it.
No, not even a little bit.
Yeah. All right, so The Mummy and It Comes at Night. Those are the two movies coming out in the theater this weekend. So now let's move on over to share time. No voicemails this week, so it's just you and me, Art. So what did you watch?
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say, you know, with the Mummy and It Comes at Night, you know, being the two big movies for this weekend, it just guarantees Wonder Woman is going to stay number one for 2 weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. That's all that's setting up. Okay, so share time. I still have not been to the movies. It is quite sad. I think I'm on the third season of Kimmy Schmidt now. I have also started watching One Punch Man. Have you heard of One Punch Man?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I was. I was listening to something, and they kind of got into the full premise of what One Punch Man is all about. And I think it might have been Fear the Boot. And the premise is so utterly ridiculous that I had to go check it out. And I think I'm pretty hooked. So this is going to be a hard one to watch because it's a little it's anime, it's a little bloody, and it's also in Japanese. So it's going to take real dedication to get through this one.
I think you'll power through.
Oh, I think I will. I'm pretty hooked. The first episode really kind of grabbed me. The big watch for the week, though, was I was talking with Brittany, and Brittany had said she'd never seen Aladdin. And they just so happened to be running commercials on Disney that they were going to be showing Aladdin. So I set up Aladdin to record. Did not actually sit down and watch it with Brittany. I actually watched it with Aubrey. And just forgot how much I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. I saw this originally in the theater. with my best friend, either just out of high school or right in high school. And so anyway, it still holds up. It's still hilarious. It's still, Robin Williams in one of his finest roles. Just, you know, very entertaining and worth watching. Aubrey completely enjoyed it, even with all of its flaws and warts. Some of the portrayal of the blatant racism and the treatment of women, you know, mm-hmm. all the things we didn't even flinch at back then. Perfectly acceptable. That's just the way life is. But anyway, I don't think I did. I'm trying to think. I don't think I did any gaming this past week. No. I mean, we got together, we played some cards at the in-laws' house, but nothing major. Oh, I did have to get some car work done, and the car place is right across the street from the board game store. Mm. So I sat in the board game store.
Life for, of Riley over there. Go ahead. I know.
You know, killed an hour, but I picked up lanterns. That's what it was. I picked up lanterns, and...
You don't have lanterns?
I didn't have lanterns. No.
Oh,
I
my God.
I've always played other people's copies.
OPC. Good.
Yep. So I picked up my own copy of Lanterns. I actually had the 2016 Lanterns promo from Tabletop Day that I just immediately threw in the box. So yeah, I did get that to the table. I taught it to... Oh, that's what I... Brittany's brother was in town for Ashley's graduation. So we played some lanterns. We played one other game, and I'm completely blanking on what it was. Nope, don't remember. But I bought my own copy of Lanterns and got it to the table in less than a few days. So that was good. You know, it's not sitting on the shelf unplayed. And I'm hoping to get that one to the table with the in-laws. I think that's something they could definitely handle and enjoy. And I think that wraps up my share time. Oh, new podcast. I talked about 99% Invisible, and they have 260 something episodes. It took me about 2 weeks to power through, so I'm all caught up with that one. But it is definitely another podcast worth checking out. A particular favorite, The Revolutionary Post. It is about the kind of history of the post office and how it drove innovation in this country. The rail lines subsidized by the post, the airlines subsidized by the post. Everywhere people wanted to go and be, the government wanted to send mail there, and so we paid them very well to do it. And so I just found that a really interesting kind of backstory, things I didn't know about where I work. So that is my share time, sir. What have you got going on?
All right, so I did go out and see a movie.
Mm.
We went and saw Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Okay, so something happened in the theater during Wonder Woman that has never happened. Roaring applause during the film.
Nice.
Basically, there's a scene in Act Two that is very triumphant for Ms. Prince. And yeah, I mean the crowd went nuts, kind of thing. And so I do have to say that recently, just me and my son would go, but my coworker, Frankie, I dragged him going. So there was three of us, and he talked his sister into going that didn't want to go. Thought it was going to be terrible. She did not like Batman vs Superman. She did not like Man of Steel. It's going to be terrible. I think she liked it more than all of us.
Nice.
Kind of thing. I had a very good time. It's a very good movie, I think. Relatively speaking, it's great. There is a lot of humor and a lot of charm between the leading lady and the leading man. And I think for me, that carried the movie, kind of thing. There isn't much more that I want to say about it. There are some structural comparisons to Captain America. That I kind of want. Well, it's interesting because, like, I haven't seen a review that really talks about it. kind of thing. And I think that they kind of made improvements to some of the things that happened in Captain America. And apparently there's got to be like a framed quote on the wall in the Warner Brothers DCEU office saying that every movie has to end with a Dragon Ball Z fight. But yeah, so it's definitely worth seeing. Gal Gadot is great as Wonder Woman. I definitely recommend it. Even though I'm hearing some people that had some quibbles and didn't really enjoy it, but they weren't really Wonder Woman fans, so I don't know what to tell them. But I definitely had a good time. I do have to say that my son was talking to me about how come there wasn't a Star Wars trailer and Thor didn't. I mean, Thor's like the second one. Usually it's like the second to the last one. Well, this is, you know, Warner Brothers, and they don't do those movies. And so,
right.
And it was just weird because the very first trailer was Rough Night. So it's a quick thumbnail description of Rough Night is just like the Hangover situation with all female actresses.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really think it was appropriate for people that go to see Wonder Woman. I leaned over my son as well. It's like they don't even know us kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I will say this, that maybe Atomic Blonde might not be the worst movie ever. James McAvoy is actually the comic relief in that one, and that'll be nice to see. So anyways, that's really all the movies and TV that happened. I'm trying to think of something else. Played some games, played a very interesting game of the networks, which kind of, the theme is you're running your own television network. And it's a lot of fun, but it's kind of a deep card game kind of thing. So I definitely, if you get a chance to play it, I would definitely recommend it. Other than that, I don't think that there's much more I want to, say. So, Art, let's get on over to news.
Alrighty.
All right, so Art, what do you have?
So first up, this one really caught my eye. So there is a full trailer for Neil Blomkamp's Oats Volume 1. So for anybody who doesn't remember, Jeff, I'm sure you do, but that is the director behind District 9.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is three short films. They're each 20 minutes apiece. And this is kind of out of his own little in-house studio. Also kind of attached to this, he was, kind of on board to be working on the Aliens franchise,
mm-hmm.
and that has apparently fallen through.
Mm-hmm.
And so rumor has it maybe District 10, or a follow-up to District 9. I doubt that it'll be called District 10. Still has to be in District 9. It should be District 9 too. I don't know. Either way, the trailer looks interesting. It's worth checking out. And like I said, I like to see what else he's going to be up to, because I really enjoyed District 9.
Yeah, same here.
Do you got?
I think he also did Elysium, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
But I never saw that one. So. Yeah.
It's worth watching. I enjoy that one, even though it's kind of uneven, but I definitely enjoyed it. All right, so I still have to beat a dead horse here. So Dark Horizons has, despite reviews, The Mummy to open big. They have reviews for Universal Pictures. The Mummy have been utterly dire, with the film clocking up 21% and a 4.4 out of 10 on Rotten Tomatoes, putting it behind last summer's notable flop, Suicide Squad. The domestic box office forecast for this weekend isn't very promising either, with a $125 million budget movie looking, they're saying optimistically, $35 million.
Ouch.
But they're saying that's going to make a lot of money overseas, so we could have a Warcraft situation.
Yeah, that's true. That's not going to help you out, but...
No, but, you know, it's not all about me, Art. Come on.
I know.
As says someone who does a podcast. Okay. So yeah, they're saying their projections overseas is 125 to 150 million range in 63 territories. That puts the movie in reach of surpassing the 167.4 million 3-day worldwide box office for War of the Worlds. So really what we're talking about right now is it going to do well enough that they're going to continue their planned cinematic universe of the classic Universal monster films. We got to look at it. It's dead. It's, you know.
Yeah.
It's not even a question right now. All right, Art, what you got next?
Yeah, it just makes me wonder because, I mean, they're talking about building a whole franchise out of this, you know. So
yeah,
we'll see. I also had that one on my radar there, so I'll just click that one closed. This also caught my eye. Two Hellboys meet as reboot is gearing up. So Patton Oswalt got on social media and he arranged a meeting between Ron Perlman and David Harbour. And they had a little bromance guy date. Looks like gifts were exchanged. They showed some pictures of Mr. Harbour getting his arm fitted for the Hand of Doom. So that's an interesting little picture. So I think it's just funny to, you know, put these two guys side by side as they're kind of a passing of the torch. So excited to see where this new Hellboy franchise goes, because I really enjoyed the first two. So I think it's got some big shoes to fill, because, like I said, I really did like the first two movies.
Interesting. Okay. I want to talk about a casting announcement that got announced.
Okay.
Hannah John Kamen joins Ant-Man sequel.
Oh.
So no one knows who she's going to play. And if you don't know who she is, I just stumbled across her IMDb page just because I was curious what she's known for. Because I know exactly who she is, but our listeners might not. Okay, so she's known for, first thing is Ready Player One, a movie that's not even out yet, that's coming out next year.
Okay.
And I think her character name is Final Xandor. She's also known for Tomb Raider, Sophie. She plays Sophie, and that's another 2018, right? So what is IMDb doing? Next, we go that she was in Star Wars The Force Awakens. She was a First Order officer, 2015. They completely bury the lead that she's Dutch on Killjoys.
Oh, okay.
So basically the main character on Killjoys, she's gonna be an Ant-Man. And, you know, they're not saying who she is. But I just thought it was interesting that maybe Killjoys might be the thing they lead with.
Right.
But, you know, when it's a Spielberg picture, maybe you start that. Maybe, you lead with Spielberg. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess.
But I'm excited to see that she's going to be in a Marvel movie. All right, Art, what you got next?
Okay. Cowboy Bebop becomes a live-action series.
Click.
Aha. Okay. I love Cowboy Bebop, both the series and the movie that kind of wrapped it all up. Tomorrow Studios, a partnership between ITV Studios and producer Marty Adelstein, has announced plans for a live-action TV series adapting a critically acclaimed, commercially successful 1998 Japanese anime series, Cowboy Bebop. So the live-action will be executive produced by Sunset Inc., the studio responsible for the classic series, as well as a bunch of other people. So people originally involved in the anime are executive producing, so hopefully they will get it right, because that's going to have a lot of baggage with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's got a lot of hardcore fanboys following it around. So, but it's got me excited. I'm definitely interested.
Yeah, and since Art killed my last news story, do you have anything left?
I do not. You killed one of my news stories. Right? Tit for tat, sir.
Well, you know, this will happen. This will happen one or twice.
Yeah. Or once or twice. It's a little bit of a slow week.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Unless you're a Wonder Woman fan, this is the best week ever.
Right.
All right, so that's going to do it for this episode of Backseat Box Office. So thank you for listening. This show and another show, Backseat Producers, is our website is backseatproducers.com, where you can find out how to leave us a voicemail, write a comment on our blog, find back episodes, and other fun stuff. So you can go to backseatproducers.com for all of that. Other than that, Artie, still here?
I am.
Okay. Other than that, take care of yourselves, and we will catch you we will catch you next time. Art, how do you want to say goodbye to everybody?
See you guys later.